Hi, I'm Katie Masouris, Senior Security Strategist with Microsoft. I'm here with Iftach Ian-Amit, Director of Security for Aladdin. Iftach, thanks for joining us at Blue Hat. And what I'd like to know is, what are you speaking about at Blue Hat?
Okay, basically what we've been discussing today is a little bit further down the road from the technical aspects of web security and down into the behind the scenes of e-crime. Being in the security field for the past 12 years or so, we kind of shifted from just focusing on the technical aspects of vulnerabilities and attacks and attack vectors, and we've been focusing lately on trying to understand exactly the business model of e-crime and why it happens, how it's being funded and fueled, and why is it so successful these days.
So is it about the psychology of these criminals who conduct crime online, or something different?
It's actually more the business of it.
Okay.
The psychology is very simple. They're in a business, they're trying to make money. It's funny because it's actually, we're taking a lot of terminology from what you would learn in like a business degree, mm-hmm. and applying them to online security and what's been happening there. Trying to piece in all the pieces together, figuring out who's paying who, how does software gets commissioned, how does vulnerability research happens and gets onto the e-crime field and is used online to compromise users and websites and so on and so forth.
So you're saying that maybe there are different players in the e-crime economy. So there are the suppliers of the malware that get commissioned mm-hmm. by the, you know, sort of the organized crime boss heads, right?
Yep.
So how much of this actually applies to traditional organized crime business models?
It's a very good question because it actually does. Earlier in e-crime, it used to be kind of a wholly owned subsidiary or kind of a mm-hmm. wholly operated the business, and as it picked up and proved to be worthy in the investment and basically proved that the business model is working, traditional organized crime is kind of taking over and is more associated these days with a lot of the e-crime operations that we're seeing. A lot of the work that we do is done in conjunction with law enforcement all across the world, in the US as well as in Europe. And we're actually seeing the links between organized crime and the e-crime operations that we're tracking. Obviously, we don't have the capacity to go into the full length of tracking down the links between organized crime, naming the names, and connecting the organizations. And that's why we work very closely with the law enforcement.
So tell me about the different players in this whole mm-hmm. food chain.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start from the top.
Mm-hmm.
In the top, there's the CEO, so to speak.
The godfather.
The
right?
godfather. The e-godfather.
That's right.
That's in this business, trying to make money. You have to remember that most of the money is being made out of stealing identities, stealing information related to financial services, such as banking information, credit card, and so on and so forth. And most importantly, business data.
Mm-hmm.
Business data is usually sold for the highest prices as opposed to common, so to speak, personal financial data that is very commoditized these days. Now, taking it from that godfather CEO level down, we see a lot of moving pieces in the form of groups that create software
mm-hmm.
to cater for those criminal groups. We see software as a service being adopted as a model, so that you don't have to operate everything by yourself. If you're in that business, all you have to do is get an account on a server that is operated by a bigger group or by a different group that is a little more technical savvy and has the resources and capacity to manage that server. So we see a lot of software being commissioned, as I said, to control that. We're seeing a lot of software being commissioned to gather up vulnerabilities and exploits and manage their deployment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of reporting mechanisms associated with these, mainly for tracking the ROI
mm-hmm.
of vulnerabilities so that you can make sure that the vulnerabilities you're using are actually working and bringing you money, and if they don't, you can replace them. You see a lot of reporting done on the geographical side of things, again, the link between e-crime and organized crime is usually more geographical. So you need to focus on specific financial institutions in a specific country, and it's very important to track where your users are coming from. A lot of software on the control side. So when you do get users infected with bots and Trojans, you need to manage those.
Mm-hmm.
So controlling them, reporting on them, giving orders and managing the interaction is also a big part of the supply and demand chain. And it's, again, it's different groups. So everything is kind of, you just need to pick the right parts that you want to operate with, string them together, pay whatever you need to pay to operate it, and you're off.
You're off
doing business,
running.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, bots, getting bots installed. You also mentioned vulnerability frameworks.
Yeah.
I assume there's also phishing, you know, that's on the menu for some of these sites. Targeted phishing. What are some of the other, you know, what are some of the other vehicles that are available, you know, to the respective godfathers, you know, shopping?
There are a lot of phishing kits out there that are available. Again, these have been commoditized by now,
mm-hmm.
so you can kind of get them for almost free.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a shift in that area that tries to get back to the client installed stuff. Phishing is being more or less efficiently fought by security vendors. And since the public is more educated these days about phishing, the more efficient way to drive revenues out of e-crime is using the locally installed Trojans.
Mm-hmm.
On the same note, we are seeing Trojans that are more aware of financial environment. So if I have a PC that's infected with a Trojan, the Trojan can see that I'm using a financial institution online and trigger itself, track my movements, report on them, so on and so forth, or even replace the content that I'm viewing with alternative content to get more information out of me.
So do you have a sense from your work in this area of how much money is involved, how much these you know, e-crime syndicates are making?
That's the million-dollar question.
Multi-million dollar,
definitely. Unfortunately, I don't have a straight answer for that. I can make predictions, I can do assumptions, but since we're approaching this from the technical aspect, and kind of growing into the behind the scenes of e-crime, it's really hard for us to monitor the amount of money that's changing hands. I have been in communication with a few law enforcement that can make some assumptions,
mm-hmm.
but it's really regional and highly volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting approach to it is trying to measure the money changing hands from the macroeconomic side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I actually heard a really good presentation in DEFCON about it. So we're trying to kind of, again, piecing the different moving pieces together, but we're talking about multi-billion dollar operation probably globally.
Wow. So this seems to be a growing, you know, a growing area of the e-crime economy, and it's getting increasingly specialized from what you're saying.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that, you know, that you and your company and law enforcement are trying to do to stop some of this growth?
Well, from my personal perspective, working in Aladdin, what we're trying to do is get out of that loop that's tracking vulnerabilities and tracking exploits and trying to be reactive. We're trying to be more proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, again, we're focusing on learning in crime and seeing the business model and trying to better predict what the next attack is going to be, what the next model is going to look like. Using that, we're working with third-party vendors and law enforcement and obviously developing products that will answer that evolving threat, I think, better.
Is there anything that you could give to your, you know, give advice to users out there who want to protect themselves or businesses who want to protect themselves from becoming victims?
Unfortunately, it sounds like a really simple advice, but it is the best advice. Just keep all of your software updated.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see a lot of 0 days running around for a long time. A 0 day is going to be effective for a few days, maybe a week. Most of the vulnerabilities are being patched by vendors, as you probably know, pretty quickly. The problem is that users don't patch that quickly.
So really, the best advice in this case is to keep your machines up to date, keep your software up to date, and obviously, if there's a patch available, go ahead and apply it after testing. Aside from that, is there anything else you want to leave our viewers with as a final thought?
Just stay aware. I mean, it's. I know it's really hard, especially with the specialized crimeware and the development in e-crime that are driving it. But just stay focused and stay aware of what's happening. If your bank is starting to ask you some funky questions, they're not supposed to know your or to ask your social security number, for example, or put you through lengthy questionnaires when there's a security problem, logging in, stuff like that. Just note that and kind of stop what you're doing. Call the bank, scan your PC, make sure you're not infected. Because a lot of the success of crimeware is based on the fact that it's mimicking real world and legitimate questions and legitimate processes, and leading the users to just answer them and kind of follow through. So it's always a mixture of technology and the human side of things. So
great.
Just stay focused.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm looking forward to seeing your talk.
Thank you.
Thanks.